Hello and welcome to Horror Wars. My name is Lamont, and I will be guiding you through this macabre dance of a show where two longtime friends put horror movies against their inevitable remake. Please be aware that horror movies, as a general rule of thumb, have violence, gore, murder, rape, dismemberment, crazy practical effects, and much more. Also, the hosts aren't versed in languages from around the world, so they may mess up some names and places here and there. If none of that bothers you, then get ready for a podcast like none other. This is Horror Wars.
Hello out there to all of our guys, gals, non-binary pals, spooky cuties, hair-raising homies, freaks, geeks, and anything in between with a motherfucking butthole. I'm Rob.
I'm Josh.
And this is Horror Wars. We are the show that puts original horror movies against their remakes in an all-out war to determine which will reign supreme. We do this with a series of scores that we give to one or the other to see who comes out on top. This week, we have The Mummy from 1932 versus The Mummy from 2017.
Not only that, but we also have multiple segments throughout the show as well. Death Peddling is where we usually discuss current events going on in the world of horror, provided by MacabreDaily.com.
Shoutouts.
And sometimes news about us, too.
Horror Club is where we review a horror film, book club style, and we'll provide a bit of background before we give it a grading of pass, rent, or buy. This week, we take a look at Bubba Hotep from 2002.
And then we get into our list of doom, where we discuss the episode's top five. This episode, our list is top five mummies in media. And we follow that up with the horrors of gaming, where we talk about horror-related games. In this episode, we're discussing Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy from 2003.
Finally, we close up shop with our ending segment called The End, where we have our final thoughts on the episode and reveal the next episode of Horror Tube. So, with all that out of the way, let's get into it, shall we?
We shall.
Death Peddling, we begin the show by wedding your macabre-loving black heart with news and events in the realm of horror that are important to the week we're recording.
Hello, I'm Gail Hailstorm, author of the book You're Dead, I'm Rich. A small college town is in shock after the unthinkable has happened. A brutal killing spree that left one teen dead, that's it, two teens dead, and this small town shaken and stirred. It's times like these.
Police are combing the area for clues. It seems there are no witnesses available at this time.
There are no suspects in custody. Police are asking anyone to come forward.
Report live for Black TV. White folks are dead. We're getting the fuck out of here. Let's roll, Jack. Come on, back. Let's go, motherfucker. Go, go.
And it's time for the news.
Indeed it is. Remember, we get all of our inside scoops of blood and guts from MacabreDaily.com. So, Josh, what are we starting with?
We have more Exorcist news.
Yeah.
I feel like we've been talking about like Exorcist a lot.
Dude, Exorcist just keeps popping up in the fucking news. I mean, this is actually pretty good news for Exorcist, I think.
All right, so the first article we have is Mike Flanagan in talks to direct next Exorcist flick for Blumhouse and Universal. Let's be honest, the Exorcist believer didn't do as well as Blumhouse and Universal predicted it would. Be at the box office with fans of the franchise. Jason Blum has even hinted that the whole idea behind the planned trilogy needs to be retooled. Things are all pointed towards a rehaul, and as Deadline reported last night, Mike Flanagan is in talks to direct the next Exorcist movie. Director David Gordon Green was initially on board to direct an entire trilogy of new movies in the franchise, with The Exorcist Believer intended to be only the first film in that three-film sequel series. Originally set to hit theaters on April 18th, 2025, sequel The Exorcist Deceiver was delayed when Green left the project. If talks go well, Mike Flanagan will take the franchise in a new direction. Flanagan knows what fans like and has so far delivered series after series of scares and shocks for horror fans everywhere. The first film in the trilogy was released theatrically on October 13th, 2023, with Leslie Odom Jr. starring alongside returning Ellen Burstyn from the original classic. Flanagan previously helmed Stephen King's adaptations Dr. Sleep and Gerald's Game, and he's also known for titles including Ouija, Origin of Evil, and Oculus, along with the Netflix horror shows The Haunting of Hill House, The Haunting of Bly Manor, and The Fall of the House of Usher. We will bring you more as we learn it by Samuel Santiago. Oh, yes. I fucking love that.
So, Mike Flanagan directing the next Exorcist movie will be pretty fucking awesome.
I remember the last time we read about it, that David Gordon Green, we were like, please stop.
Please
stop. Just stay away from horror movies, please.
Yeah, especially considering you fucked up the Halloween, the new Halloween trilogy. They're retconning that, and it's going to be a TV show now.
Which is wild.
And then, of course, now Exorcist. I don't think that they're going to continue down the path that they were going with that rebooted story. I do think that Flanagan's going to get his own story because Flanagan's got a certain amount of pedigree behind him. So I hope that The Exorcist is good under him. I don't think it won't be.
Right.
But I guess let's see, as I said, if the talks even go well to begin with.
Right.
And for the second bit of news today, original classic The Crow coming back to theaters for 30th anniversary. While we wait for the upcoming reboot with Bill Skarsgård to hit theaters, goths and 90s kids rejoice as news has come out that The Crow, starring Brandon Lee, will be resurrected to hit theaters for its 30th anniversary. Cinemark brings director Alex Proyas's The Crow back to theaters for the classic movie's 30th anniversary as part of the Scream Greats label from Paramount, Scares, and Fangoria. You'll be able to see The Crow up on the big screen at Cinemark theaters on two nights only, May 29th and May 30th. Head over to Cinemark's website to check the local listings now. The 1994 spawned a few sequels and even a short-lived TV series. Cinemark previews the 30th anniversary event, the modern gothic original that entranced audiences and critics alike. The Crow tells the tale of a young musician brutally murdered along his beloved fiancé, only to be risen from the grave by a mysterious crow. Seeking revenge, he battles criminal underground that must answer for its crimes. Adapted from the comic book saga of the same name, this action-packed thriller from director Alex Proyas, Dark City, features hypnotic style, dazzling visuals, and a soulful performance by the late Brandon Lee. Bonus content with the feature, production designer Alex McDowell revisits the goth masterpiece, taking us on a deep dive covering all facets of design of the film by Samuel Santiago. For more horror news, reviews, articles, interviews, and so much more, visit macabredaily.com today and every day. They are your dark side of pop culture. Before we're done with death pedaling today, sir, two things.
Okay.
One, the Jake Gyllenhaal movie that you talked about on last episode is called Enemy.
Okay.
I looked it up. It is real. It does exist. You are not just totally blazed out of your mind. I thought it existed, but I wasn't 100% sure. It was an allegory for relationships and his being scared of being in relationships and stuff like that. That's what the spider was representing. It was his fear of women or something. I didn't watch the movie, but I did find out what you were talking about. So it does exist. Now, on to last episode. I just wanted to talk about it real quick before we went into everything. Whew, what an experience that was.
Yeah, that was... I already listened to that episode, and man, it's funny too, because you can see us be like insanely baked at the very beginning, and then it kind of like evens out a bit, but holy shit, the beginning is fucking rough.
The beginning is so goddamn rough. I'm so glad I put that little... excerpt thing there at the beginning of the warning. Man, for everybody that listened to that episode, I hope it was just as great for y'all listening to us be completely baked out of our fucking minds.
Hell yeah.
As it was for us recording it, because that was a goddamn experience. That was... I hurt all of us by making those news stories extra long.
Oh my god, dude.
That was painful.
Yeah. That is now probably what? That's our longest episode we have, right?
No, actually.
Really?
The fucking Psycho episode, your birthday episode, is still longer by almost 20 minutes.
Holy shit.
We managed to be that high and still with four people put together a coherent episode.
Hell yeah.
I don't know if that just speaks for our tolerance or if that speaks for our professionalism.
I don't know.
Or but... what. But even with the like total shout out to Jossie too. He looked at the script just a couple seconds before he went live, and he's never done that before. So good on him for doing that. Steve sitting in the back over there playing Division II right now, looking like a goober. But he did well too. Like, you know, he started coming out at the end of the episode.
Got back into old podcast form.
Yeah. And me and you, man, Jesus Christ, we kept it fucking going.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that was total shout outs to us for keeping that fucking train somewhat even cohesively on a track.
I was going to say, if you listen to that compared to the Psycho episode, it's a lot more structured.
It is a lot more structured. You know, so totally appreciate everybody that's taking a listen out to it. It is actually a pretty good.
Yeah.
Episode. I fixed up the audio as much as I could. It's not great. There are certain parts where it's low, but that's what the warning was for. Yep. It was a great episode though. So everybody that's listened to it, we would love some feedback on it. You know, hit us up, horrorwarspodcast@gmail.com. Let us know what you think. And, with that being said, sir, I think it's time that we go to
the wall.
The wall. The lie.
The war, the reason everyone's here. This is the main segment of our show. We put a horror film against its remake. We go stat for stat, financials, facts, where to watch, synopsis, cast, and everything in between. Afterwards, we grade them both on a scorecard, we tally up those results, and we see who wins the day.
You have studied our ancient arts, and you know that you cannot harm me. You also know that you must return that scroll to me or die. Now tell that weak fool to get that scroll wherever it is and hand it to his Nubian servant.
The Nubian?
The ancient blood. So you have made him your slave. If I could get my hands on you, I'd break your dried flesh to pieces. But your power is too strong.
And welcome to the war.
As with every episode, we're going to tell you where we get all of our glorious information from. We source pieces from Wikipedia, IMDb, Just Watch, and Rotten Tomatoes mainly. Sometimes we have to dig a little deeper, but we shout out where we get that info from when applicable.
Also, when we give the information on where to watch these films, please keep in mind that they may not be available on those services by the time you may listen to the episode. So please have to Just Watch for all your viewing needs.
With that being said, let's break down how we go about scoring these movies to determine our winner. We go through the stats, the crew, the cast, the runtime, and everything in between to get our results. At the end, we discuss our reasoning for where we place the points and why in a series of 11 categories. They are acting, directing, writing slash plot, killer or killers, casting, soundtrack, gore slash kills, pacing, time period, environment, and finally, the ending.
And as Lamont said in the intro of this segment, we tally up our individual scores, combine them, and the one with the highest score wins the day. After that, we send it off to all of you and let you vote on our poll on Instagram after every episode is posted. Now that all that is out of the way, it's time for the wall.
Yes, the fuck it is.
Gathered in their masses, just like witches at black masses. In the fields, the bodies burning as the war machine keeps turning. Evil minds that plot destruction, sorcerer of death's construction.
It's been a couple songs, Ozzy, and you still can't sing War Pigs right, huh?
Okay. Yeah, it has been. Well, last episode, it wasn't the song. It was just me finding a drug-fueled...
It was the interview. Dude, laughing my balls off.
Who the fuck is Justin Bieber? For those that didn't listen to the last episode, I was trying to find a song that Ozzy was talking about, like heavy drug use or something. Mm-hmm. And all I found was like there were some in there, but it was like metaphors for it and shit. And I didn't really want to do that. So then I was like, fuck it, Ozzy's a legendary drug user. Let's just find something of him being completely and totally fucking gone off his gourd. And there we go.
When it first started, I couldn't even understand him. I was like, oh, I see what Rob's getting at
here. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. today, we are going to be talking about The Mummy versus The Mummy. This might be a little bit of a controversial choice here because The Mummy from 2017 is a remake of the 1932 Mummy movie.
Yep.
Just as much as the Brendan Fraser movie from 1999 is a remake from the 1932 Mummy movie. Mm-hmm. But because we are Horror Wars, The Mummy from 1999 kind of took a action-adventure comedy turn.
Yep.
And we have had a few episodes where it was like, okay, this is teetering on horror or whatever. The Wolfman from 2010 was super fucking good.
Oh, yeah.
And I just wanted to kind of bring it back to that, not discrediting Brendan Fraser's 1999 movie of The Mummy or The Mummy Returns or The Scorpion King or the fucking whatever the other one was. The Dragon Emperor, I think, was the third Mummy movie.
Remember.
Either way, and sorry about my nose, everybody. My allergies have been kicking my ass the last 24 hours, so if you hear me snorting... My bad.
Hey, do you not remember a couple episodes ago when I was just coughing every 2 seconds? Yeah.
So, but these two movies, the 1932 Mummy and the 2017 Mummy, are both indicative of very big historical things in Universal Pictures.
Yeah.
So that's another reason why I wanted to go with the 2017, because this movie was supposed to kick off the Dark Universe.
Yep.
This movie was supposed to bring the Universal Monsters into the light that we were talking about.
Yep.
Modern Universal Monsters in this setting.
Yep.
But the 2017 Mummy movie failed. And we'll talk about that as we get into the episode. So, with that being said, I will be taking the OG today.
Yes, sir.
And Sir Joshua will be taking the remake. Mm-hmm. Movie name, The Mummy. Runtime, 1 hour and 13 minutes. Like a lot of the old Universal Monster movies, they're what, about an hour and 9 hour and 15, something like that.
I think the original Wolfman was like an hour and 3 minutes. Yeah, hour and 10
something
minutes.
Like that,
Hour and 10 minutes, you're right.
Release date, December 22nd, 1932. And they're all coming around Christmas time.
Yeah.
So that's also really
So is it a Christmas movie?
No, right. I'm just kidding. produced by Carl Lemieux Jr., production company, Universal Pictures. Budget, $196,000 US. Box office, $58 million
Damn.
USD. Screenplay, John L. Balderston. Directed by Carl Freund. Cinematography by Charles Stumar. Edited by Milton Carruth. Music by James Dietrich. And you can watch it on the Microsoft. You can rent or buy it on the Microsoft Store, Apple TV, Amazon Video, Google Play Movies, YouTube, and Fandango at Home, which is formerly Vudu. I don't know why I put friendly Vudu in the script, but whatever. Ratings, 7.10 on IMDb, 0% on Rotten Tomatoes, because I fucking forgot to do that too, but it was 76% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Okay.
88% on Just Watchadoo. Plot, an ancient Egyptian priest named Imhotep is revived when an archaeological expedition finds his mummy, and one of the archaeologists accidentally reads an ancient life-giving spell. Imhotep escapes from the field site and searches for the reincarnation of the soul of his lover.
You know, if you, reading the plot out loud, kind of sounds like Evil Dead in a sense. You know
what
I mean?
Yeah, kind of.
So, hey,
it's and it's also literally the plot of the 1999 Mummy.
Yep.
Related media, non-applicable. And you're like, wait a minute, there's a ton of mummy movies. Unlike other Universal monster films, The Mummy had no official sequel. The character was reimagined in The Mummy's Hand from 1940, and its sequels, The Mummy's Tomb, 1942, The Mummy's Ghost, 1944, The Mummy's Curse, 1944, and the studio's comedy horror crossover film, Abbott and Costello Meet the Mummy, 1955. These films focus on the titular character named Clarice in the Abbott and Costello film, or Clarice in the Abbott and Costello film. The Mummy's Hand recycled footage from the original film for use in the telling of Clarice's origins, where Karloff is clearly visible in several of these recycled scenes, but was not credited. Lon Chaney Jr. played the mummy in The Mummy's Tomb, The Mummy's Ghost, and The Mummy's Curse. Sheesh. That is a lot.
That is a lot.
Not to mention, we also have the Hammer horror monsters, which is the UK's version of the Universal monsters. It's all Frankenstein, the mummy, Dracula, all that. And for a lot of years, it's been debated, are the Hammer monsters or the Universal monsters more prevalent for horror?
Huh.
But that's something that we can get into in future episodes of Horror Wars, because they are remakes of the American Universal monsters. Some people prefer the Hammer monsters over the Universal monsters. So that's a big debate for later on.
Yeah, and I didn't even know that. Well, shit.
Yeah. Trivia. There are 40 more on IMDb. Number one, the main theme music to the opening credits is the same movement from Swan Lake used to open Dracula in 1931. Number two, throughout the film's production, there was a great tension between Zita Johann and director Karl Freund, who disliked each other immensely. According to Johann, on the first day of filming, Freund attempted to portray her to the producers as a temperamental actress who was very hard to work with. Number three, as of 2022, the film's poster is in the top five for the most money paid for a movie poster at auction, $435,500. The leader is a poster for Metropolis, 1927, at $690,000. Dracula, next, from 1931 at $525,800, followed by London After Midnight from 1927 and Casablanca from 1942, both at $478,000, with this film in fifth place.
Damn.
That is wild. Number four, throughout the film's production, there was a great tension between Zeta Jones. Oh, I already said that. Why did I write that twice? Whatever. I don't care. I'm sorry. The discovery of Pharaoh Tutankhamun's tomb and the alleged curse it contained inspired Universal to make this film. In fact, when Howard Carter, funded by Lord Carnarvon, opened the sarcophagus of King Tut in 1925, screenwriter John L. Balderston was present as a reporter for the New York World. Number six, Ardeath Bey, the name Imhotep assumes after his exhumation, is an anagram of Death by Ra. Ra is the Egyptian sun god. In The Mummy, 1999, starring Brendan Fraser, Ardeath Bey, played by Oded Ferher, was the leader of the Mijai, the protectors of the realm. Number seven, Boris Karloff was virtually unknown when he appeared as the creature Frankenstein in 1931. He created a sensation that when this film was made only a year later, Universal only had to advertise Karloff, the mummy. Number eight, Boris Karloff, to makeup artist and designer of the mummy bondage, the bandage costume, Jack P. Pierce. Well, you've done a wonderful job, but you forgot to give me a fly. Number nine, Henry Victor appears in the credits of the film as Saxon Warrior, yet he never actually appears in the movie. The Saxon Warrior was a part of a long flashback sequence following the heroine's past lives from ancient Egypt to the present. The sequence was cut from the final film. Number 10. A lengthy reincarnation scene important to the plot never made it into the film.
Oh, cool.
This upset many people, including the film's leading actress, Zita Johann, who was a firm believer in reincarnation. Now, before I get to the cast, I realized as I was going, I went to move that one fact down, and I never put the other fact in. This movie was plagued by fucking backstage drama. Everybody kind of hated each other. I don't know how this fucking movie got made.
Yeah, that's weird.
But the main star, the woman, was taken from a co-starring role and put down to the top billing of the other cast. Mm. So she wasn't even put as top billed because of the shit that happened on the first day of set.
Wow.
They took her off of the main starring credits.
Well, I was going to say, for the last one you read about them cutting out the reincarnation scene, all that, so he was just being a dick.
Yeah, dude, there was about, like, I looked everything up, there's about an extra 20 more minutes to this movie.
Wow.
And I'm going to tell you right now, I love this movie. Mm-hmm. The 1932 Mummy, I'm not going to get into it, but the visuals fucking hooked me on this movie. I'm pissed that I found out so much about this movie now, and that there was so much not only left on the cutting room floor, but things that didn't get done simply because of politics.
That's stupid as fuck.
It's fucking whack, dude.
Yeah, that's lame.
The cast, Boris Karloff, billed as Karloff, was Ardeth Bey, Imhotep, and the Mummy. Zita Johann is Helen Grusnaver. David Manners as Frank Wemple. Arthur Byron as Sir Joseph Wemple. Edward Van Sloan as Dr. Muller. Bram Fletcher as Ralph Norton. Noble Johnson as the Nubian. Catherine Byron as Frau Muller. Leonard Muddy as Professor Pearson. James Crane as Pharaoh, misspelled as Pharoh in the credits. Amon Foas, Montague Shaw as Gentleman, and Henry Victor as the Saxon Warrior. So, yeah, there's
very nice, very
1932
nice.
Mummy in all of its glory.
And all of those insanely hard names. Very nice. Very nice.
Jesus
very nice.
Christ.
Nice. So, moving on, we have the remake. Movie name, The Mummy. With a runtime of an hour and 50 minutes,
Jesus.
And it did not need all that.
No, it didn't.
Release date, June 9th, 2017. Produced by Alex Kurtzman, Chris Morgan, Sean Daniel, and Sarah Bradshaw. All the producers.
All of them.
Oh my God, and all the production companies. Production
all
companies.
Of them.
Perfect World Pictures, Conspiracy Factory Productions, Sean Daniel Company, Secret Hideout, Chris Morgan Productions, and TC Productions. The budget. It was between $125 to $195 million U.S. dollars, and at the box office, it made $410 million U.S. dollars. Holy shit.
Which, to me, isn't a bomb. But we'll go into this in a little bit.
Screenplay. All the screenplay writers. By David Cope, Christopher McQuarrie, I think, and Dylan Cussman. Directed by Alex Kurtzman. Cinematography by Ben Searson. Edited by Paul and Gina Hirsch and Andrew Modeshine. Again, three editors.
Yep.
Music by Brian Tyler. Where to watch. You can buy The Mummy on Apple TV, Amazon Video, AMC On Demand, Google Play Movies, YouTube, Microsoft Store, and Fandango at Home. Formerly, Vudu. The ratings. Wow, a 5.4 out of 10 on IMDb.
Mm-hmm.
35% on Rotten Tomatoes.
Yep.
And 70% on Just Watch It Do.
Which is wild.
Plot. Though safely entombed in a crypt deep beneath the unforgiving desert, an ancient queen whose destiny was unjustly taken from her is awakened in our current day, bringing with her maleficence grown over millennia and terrors that defy human comprehension. Related media. Non-applicable. Rest in peace to the dark universe. I like that. And for the plot, that's kind of not right, because it says whose destiny was unjustly taken. It was just her dad had a son, so now he was going to be the king. And then she
right.
went nuts.
Yeah.
Trivia. 42 more on IMDb, or IMDb.
Yep.
Number one, the film's tagline, "Welcome to a New World of Gods and Monsters," is a quote from Bride of Frankenstein, 1935, which was also produced by Universal and would have been the next installment in the Dark Universe franchise if The Mummy 2017 caught on,
yep.
which is depressing.
Angelina Jolie.
That's right. I actually remember talks of that. Wow. Yep. Number two, when Ahmet is mummified and is put in the sarcophagus, the lid was too close to Sophia Boutella's face. The lid hit her nose, and all the bandages around her head were soaked with blood. Jesus.
Yep.
After the bloody bandages were removed, a second take was done, this time with the lid further away from her face.
Yeah.
Jesus
Imagine.
Christ. Number three, the mummy's design and gender were altered to avoid similarities with the titular villain of X-Men Apocalypse 2016.
Yep, because it came out towards the end of 2016, and just a few months later, this movie hit theaters.
Oh, shit.
Yep.
Number four, in a 2018 Playboy interview, Sophia Boutella said licking Tom Cruise's face was fun. He also told the makeup artist, make sure to clean my face. It's fake dirt and fake sweat, so make sure it's clean for Sophia. She thought it was so sweet, and they laughed a lot during that scene.
Yeah, I'm sure they did.
Yeah, that just... And it's funny, too, because watching that, I was like, how weird had it to have been with someone just licking your face? Like, yeah. For however many takes, you know what I mean? Lost my place. Number five. On December 20th, 2016, IMAX mistakenly released a trailer with no audio except for Tom Cruise's grunts and screams, inspiring many internet memes. Number six. With a 15% approval rating on Rotten Tomatoes as of 2024, this is the second worst reviewed film of Tom Cruise's career after Cocktail in 1988 with 9%. Really?
Yeah, and I like Cocktail. It was a pretty cool movie.
Number seven, director Alex Kurtzman stated that there is no post-credit scene because that's Marvel's domain. Okay, fair.
It's funny that he says that because I have a gripe about this movie that includes Marvel.
Okay. Number eight, after promoting the film on Tom Cruise / Kate Mara / Bleachers 2017, Tom Cruise surprised the audience by inviting them to the premiere of the film immediately after their interview, transporting them in a shuttle bus.
I thought that's pretty cool.
Yeah. I knew this had to do something with Peaky Blinders. Fucking knew it.
Yep.
Number nine. A huge fan of Peaky Blinders 2013, Tom Cruise personally requested Annabelle Wallace to audition for the film. As soon as she appeared, I was like, that's Grace from Peaky Blinders.
Yep.
That's Tommy Shelby's wife.
Tommy Shelby.
Number 10. The zero gravity scene took 64 takes and was shot for 2 days in a special plane that was lined in padded green fabric covered in reference marks. The plane would fly to a high altitude, then dive along a parabolic path, falling at the same rate as the gravitational pull. Reportedly, a lot of the crew got nauseous during the scene and vomited, except for the main stars, Tom Cruise and Annabelle Wallace, who were really proud of the stunt.
Yeah.
Which, when the plane was going down for that scene, just Tom Cruise's face, I felt the fear. I was like, I couldn't imagine doing that shit.
Yeah, that shit was just,
Cast. Tom Cruise as Nick Morton, Annabelle Wallace as Jennifer Jenny Halsey, Sophia Boutella as Amit, Jake Johnson as Chris Vale, Courtney B. Vance as Colonel Greenway, Russell fucking Crowe as Dr. Henry Jekyll / Edward Eddie Hyde, and Marwan Kenzari as Malik, and Javier Botet as Set.
Yeah, man.
What a cast, dude.
What a little cast they had there, and what the Dark Universe was supposed to fucking be. Man, it sucks.
It's super depressing, too, because, like, after watching The Wolfman, it's like, and The Wolfman remake being so fucking good, I was like, yeah, there's got to be a whole bunch of remakes. And
right.
Because like, you brought up the, what is it, the Monster Universe or whatever?
Yeah, the Dark Universe.
Years ago, before we even started doing the podcast. So, yeah man.
It just sucks because after this, we were supposed to get Invisible Man after Bride of Frankenstein. Then we were supposed to get Frankenstein. And then we were supposed to get the Wolfman. They were all in modern times. This was all what we were talking about before we started doing this. Yep. And it's because we talked about that a few episodes ago that made me want to do the Universal Monsters with their remakes. Now, with the case of the Wolfman, that was 2010. So that was years before the Dark Universe. Dracula Untold from 2014 was supposed to be the start of the Dark Universe.
Oh, shit, really?
But because it was Dracula in modern times. Mm. It told the story of Dracula that it made to him in modern times. And that's what we were supposed to get.
I can't help it. I'm sorry that fucking dog shit Dracula film that just came out, the boat one. I know I bring it up a lot.
Yeah, the Last Voyage of the Demeter. Yeah. Yeah, then we get that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And Dracula Untold wasn't a great movie to begin with for number one. So they kicked off the Dark Universe in a horrible fashion with that. But then they retconned it so that way the Mummy would be the first one, not Dracula Untold. So the Dark Universe was like cursed from the fucking beginning.
Right.
They had good intentions, but it failed. And I'm going to talk about it in this because, you know, fuck it. I'm just going to say it real quick. The Dark Universe failed simply because even though this motherfucker said that the post-credits is Marvel's domain, this movie felt like them trying to get together a team of superpowered individuals with a superpowered fucking individual as their leader, Dr. Jekyll, Mr. Hyde, to form a fucking group of monsters to take on threats. If that's not fucking Marvel, I don't know what is.
Okay, so we discussed before we started recording our problems, and I was going to say the same fucking thing because, look, I don't like many Tom Cruise movies, but we all know that at some point there was a meme where it was like, if they were to do the Avengers in the 90s or whatever, right, and they had like Tom Cruise as right. Captain, or Captain America or Tony Stark, I can't remember.
Right.
He was essentially Captain America in this.
Yeah, he was the rallier of the monsters. Yep. He was going to go for Dr. Jekyll
yep.
and get all these fucking monsters together yep. to form a fucking super team. This is so fucking Marvel.
Yep.
And that is why these movies, well, this movie failed, not box office wise, because I don't think almost $500 million is a failure.
Oh, yeah.
I think the story, main point as to what made me think this, she's getting ready to hit Tom Cruise with the fucking dagger. She stops. The door opens. They all look over. There's two holding him down. Mm-hmm. She looks over. Everybody looks over. The girl from fucking Peaky Blinders yep. is in the door. And he's like, what's her fucking name?
Jenny.
Jenny!
Run!
Run! Like, those type of things in that movie pissed me off.
It's because Marvel fell into that
yes.
kind of thing where it's a super serious moment. Let's yes. throw in a joke.
Let's throw in a joke.
Let's have yes. some comedy in there. And then yes. what makes no sense for that particular scene you're talking about, the gem is off the dagger, yep. all that shit.
Yep.
The Amet, whatever, the main villainess, looks over, jumps off of him, and then all of a sudden he can rip his arms out of
yeah.
some mummy demon guy and yeah. punch it in the face and escape. And all
even though
shit.
He couldn't do that 20 yeah. seconds ago.
Exactly.
There's so much wrong with this movie, but so much right.
Mm-hmm.
They did the visuals in the 2017 Mummy were great.
Let's get yeah, the story. Yeah, let's get the score.
Okay. So, acting, do you go with OG or remake?
I'll give it to remake because look at who's in it. But I have to give all the props to the guy that played the fucking the mummy, the
Boris
high priest.
Karloff. Yeah.
Dude. 1932 acting, and I did not feel like he was doing that theatrical la 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 la.
Yeah.
The way he was talking was fucking amazing. His facial, like,
yeah.
acting, again, the way his face looked when he was pissed, and it was that full straight-on shot of him.
Yeah.
I felt the anger, but I still give it to the remake for the acting, I'm sorry.
Now, for me, I'm going to go with the OG in the acting department because it seems like all the comedy that was put in for no reason
right.
that makes me do that because Tom Cruise trying to do comedy in an action sequence, which he does multiple times in this movie, just doesn't do it for me. I'm used to Mission Impossible Tom Cruise doing action. If I want comedy Tom Cruise, I'll go watch a comedy Tom Cruise movie. Him doing comedy and action together, I don't think that's capable for just me,
yeah,
for
yeah.
me, you know. So I'm going to give it to the OG because I don't feel like any of that casted that
yeah.
1930s, either the fast talking or the over dramatized yeah. or I feel like everybody did their part in the 1930s right. one, even with all the backstage shit that was going yeah. on. So that's where I'm going to go with it. Directing. Yeah, I'm struggling with this one too, but I think I know where I'm going to go.
I think I'll give it to OG for this one because it's very rare that when they stick with, you know, like Egyptian backstories, they stay there.
Yeah.
With, it's funny too, because of the remake, god damn, we go every fucking
yeah,
where. And one of my biggest like annoyances with this film, It follows almost that action movie trope where it's like, you know, we're in a really cool spot, a sarcophagus, some kind of tomb, all yep. this other kind of shit. Then it's like, now we have to race through the forest with a bunch of Jeeps and yep. have these big, like, Michael Bay action scenes and all this other yep. bullshit.
Yep.
So, yeah, I'm going to give it to the original just because I felt like we stayed at least with the theme of the fucking movie.
Yeah. I'm also giving it to the original because I felt like it was World War Z, but with mummies instead of zombies.
Holy balls, dude.
Because yeah. We went everywhere. We went and did everything in yeah. this movie. All the, it was just a lot of the same.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I liked it for the parts that I liked.
Mm-hmm.
But for me, a lot of it was just...
Yeah.
It missed a lot. Writing / plot.
I'm going to give it to the original because the whole plot stems from the high priest fell in love with the princess. She passed away. Yep. He went to use a curse, got caught, mummified alive, boom, got brought back by the dude from the archaeology, all that kind of shit.
Yep.
The fucking remake plot is so cliche.
Yeah.
The princess was supposed to be given the throne. Her dad eventually had a son. It was going to go to him. So she made a deal with the devil pretty much.
Yeah.
Murdered her family just so she could rule.
Yep.
Then she made the main character who she was going to make her Prince of Darkness kind of.
Yeah, with Set and all that shit.
It's just so fucking cliche.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I didn't particularly care for the writing in the remake. It had its points. I liked Russell Crowe's lines. I liked a lot of the background story that they were developing. But I don't think they put enough emphasis on that background story. If the background story had a little bit more oomph to it, I think maybe the movie would be more better received.
League of Extraordinary Gentlemen kind of did it better with their Avengers-type gathering of supernatural. Right.
And they did it in one movie.
Yeah.
Right. Killers doesn't necessarily fit in this one.
There isn't really one.
But okay. We can go with Imhotep or whatever her name was.
I'll give it to remake because I'm a sucker for the curse mark tattoos.
Yeah, Ament was fucking dope.
Like, her whole design, I think, was pretty fucking cool. Like, it could have been a comic book character, obviously. So, I'll give it to that because the priest was a little more, I guess, stereotype of what you would give, like, a high priest or a pharaoh.
So. Yeah, he basically, what I liked about him was his manipulation.
Right.
How he manipulated everybody around him to do exactly what he wanted.
Right.
Until the woman that he was going after just suddenly fucking had these memories of a past life.
And remembered the chant to the... I think it was to Anubis.
I'm
not entirely sure, but...
Yeah, but that part, that kind of... The ending.
Yeah.
The last 5 minutes of The Mummy kind of like... discredited a lot of the movie to me.
Which I think, again, kind of fucks it up because how much they cut out. I feel like if we got everything they had.
Yeah. If we made this an hour and a half and if we took 20 minutes away from the 2017 movie, it would be, both of them, I think we would have more of a, and it's crazy that the 1932 one stacks up so well against a movie from 2017.
Yep.
We don't get this very often where these older movies actually hold some sort of candle to these modern ones.
I agree.
But I am going to give it to Aminette from this one because, like you said, I think she had the more... She could be more of a killer. She could be more of a ruthless. Mm-hmm. She did. She killed. She killed baby. She killed, you know... This guy was just like, I love my woman and I want her back and I'm going to fucking destroy you if I don't.
No.
She, though, literally killed beings in the movie. Yep. So
with kind of like the weirdest power. I get it's supposed to be her sucking their souls out.
Yeah. But she still did it. So casting. We just discussed this.
I'm going to give it the remake.
I'm going to give the casting to the remake because the cast of the remake had a lot of star power.
Oh, yeah.
The OG had Boris Karloff and a couple others in there. But Boris Karloff is not Tom Cruise.
Yeah.
Fight me. You know? Soundtrack. I don't really think there was too much soundtrack for either of them. I mean, like Swan Lake.
See, for...
I think I'm going to have to go to remake on this because remake had more music to it, if you want to call it that.
I'll give it to the original just because they had like that big orchestral, like, not soap opera music, but there was a lot of like loud, like,
like the Hans Zimmer horns and shit.
So I'll give it to the original for that.
All right.
Like, I know in Remake they had, you know, some heavy metal thrown in there.
Yeah.
In, like, spots, but I feel like, again, that runtime and them just trying to add music to every scene for me is just a bit much.
Okay.
So I can appreciate the original. That's but the remake fair. Does have a good soundtrack.
That's very fair. This one doesn't really match this episode, but I mean, it can technically. Gore/Kills.
Remake.
I was going to say, I think it defaults just to remake on that because, yeah, there was actual...
Well, the only one that I remember actually dying in that, in the original movie, is the Sir John. I forget his name. He's one of the dudes. He's the one that he, like, first kind of curses.
Yeah.
But it, there really wasn't anything to it. He fell, and then that was the end of it. And in the remake, she's stabbing motherfuckers up and taking their souls.
They're shooting people and, you know, shot the one dude in the fucking head. Yep. And he's like, you shot me.
Three times.
Yeah. See, another... Yeah. That wasn't needed.
Okay, I'm sorry. That was another part that I had. Let me go back to the plot and all that real quick. The fact that the buddy at the beginning had to be the ghost that followed him around, and the only reason he was in it, because they had no way to make time move forward or explain how the fuck Tom Cruise would know where to go.
Yep.
Come on, man. That, like, I understand his friend is cursed, but now all of a sudden he's connected to Tom Cruise's character, Animet. Come on, dude. No.
Just more reason to go for remaking that one. I think I know where this one's going to go, but pacing.
Oh, original, bro. OG. That movie is so short.
100%. Time period. They made Ahmet's story fit very well in a modern universe. But I also feel like the mummy curse stuff was very 1930s, 1940s.
I was going to say, I think I'm going to give it to the original.
Yeah.
Just because, again, the remake is... If you didn't have the mummy attached to the title, you could have just called it something else, and it could have been a completely different thing.
Right.
You know what I mean? So,
right.
Yeah, I'm going to give it to the original.
I'm also giving it to the original because time period. Like, literally, this movie was inspired by King Tut's opening. Yep. How can you get more historical than that? environment.
All right. I'm going to give it to remake because while I do appreciate them using, like, a lot more Egyptian stuff for the original... You kind of don't get it that much once we get past his backstory.
Yeah.
Or the beginning when they actually find his sarcophagus. So I'm going to give it to remake just because... Because
they did stick with it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, boy. The end.
It's weird, too, because the ending for the original... Like, I never knew that they had sequels or anything, but it didn't feel like they were setting up for... more to this series for me.
Yeah, because this one technically is the only one that Imhotep was in.
Okay.
Like we said earlier, that the mummy in the other mummy movies were not him. It was, you know, somebody else.
You know what? I'm going to give it to the original because even without not having a post-credit scene or all that kind of shit, it was a cliched ending for the remake for me. Because it's a typical, we're on to our next adventure. Oh yeah, by the way, now Tom Cruise's character is a god and resurrected his friend. Now they're off to go find more supernatural
people. Right. Which is pretty Marvel.
Yeah, which is pretty fucking Marvel. So I'm going to give it to the original.
I think I'm going to give it to original too because we did get a nice story in there, and it wasn't made with the intentions of... They didn't shoehorn an ending just to make it fit for a universe that they were proud to call a universe beginning.
Because I was just about to say, because Russell Crowe's speech at the end was like, he's going to go find more people to join and blah, 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 and break his curse. It's like, all right, man.
Now, I just wish that they wouldn't have announced it as the beginning of a new universe. If you would have just let this movie linger on its own, like Marvel did, they didn't say, this is the beginning of a universe. Mm-hmm. Iron Man is the beginning of our cinematic story. They let like three movies play out, and then they were like, oh, by the way, make sure you're following because these movies all connect to each other, whether you realize it or not.
Yep.
Excuse me. They all connect. And then people were like, wait, what?
Yep.
Then they went back and watched them and said, oh my God. Then we went on our journey of the Infinity Gauntlet.
Yep.
They didn't do that with this. They went right for the balls and was like, this is the beginning of our new fucking universe. Yep. And then they failed. So either way, let's tally up these scores. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10, 12 to the OG. 2, 4, 6, 8, 10 to the remake. So the fucking OG wins today by 2 points.
And here's the thing.
Wow.
I don't think either one of these movies are bad.
Right.
It's just the remake is too much of what, I guess you could say, every movie we've seen in the past, like,
yeah,
10 years.
It's let's start a universe. Let's do this. Let's make our characters profitable for sales. Yep. Let's monetize this, which is cool, which is fine. Like I said, I just think that people have universe fatigue.
Mm-hmm.
Not just superhero fatigue, but Star Wars universe. We're getting to a point where there's a Star Wars project coming out every fucking 20 minutes, it feels like. Mm-hmm. We're coming out with Batman versus the fucking Xenomorphs. And there's just so many different things that are trying to create all this monetization, which, again, capitalist America, here we are. But just let stories tell themselves naturally. Yeah. Build your shit. Don't just go out there with the intentions of fucking milking it for everything that it's worth, because there are people out there that are like, yeah, I'm not going to go do that because I see what you're doing.
Yeah.
Like right from the fucking rip. And like I said, almost 500 million, I don't think that's a failure. But it didn't garner enough money to
continue
do this dark universe shit.
Yeah.
Especially when they were trying to pay Angelina Jolie, Javier Bardem, and Johnny Depp. Johnny Depp was supposed to be the Invisible Man.
Really?
And Javier Bardem was supposed to be the Wolfman. Yeah.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So, needless to say, we didn't get it. The OG Mummy won the day. Only by 2 points.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It's not bad.
It just shows that sometimes these movies from the 30s do stack up. Yeah. Now, I do have a question, though. This is going to be something that I want to pose, and then we'll move on to the next. Do you think it would have ended like this if we would have did the 1999 Mummy versus the 1932 Mummy? Or do you think the 1999 Mummy would have just washed the fuck out
it
of this?
It probably would have washed it.
It would have washed the fuck out of it. And that is why I didn't choose the 1999 Mummy. Not only was it not horror or horror-esque, but I think that it would have honestly just fucking completely washed, except for like the acting from Boris Karloff.
Yeah. It probably would have been, a complete sweep on that one.
Yeah. So, all right, let's get on to the next segment.
Which is,
oh God, it's going to be great this week.
Horror Club. Each episode, we pick a film that complements the war. We then review it under a series of categories and ultimately tell you whether we think you should pass, rent, or buy.
The revealing of her panties wasn't intentional or unintentional. She just didn't give a damn. She saw me as so physically and sexually non-threatening, she didn't mind if I got a bird's eye view of her love nest. It was the same to her as a house cat sneaking a peek. I felt my pecker flutter once like a pigeon having a heart attack, and then lay back down and remain limp and still. Of course, these days, even a flutter was kind of reassuring. Thank you.
Well, hey. Nice to see you. We think it's time for you to sit back, relax, hang out, possibly smoke something, and vibe. It's time for Horror Club, our movie review done book club style. Let's discuss how this works. Much like with the war, we have a series of talking points that include acting, gore/kills, directing, pacing, writing/plot, killer or killers, cast, and soundtrack.
If those categories sound familiar, it's because they are. We basically use a lot of the same things we use from the war because we find them to be the simplest and best way to come to our conclusions.
With that said, let's talk about it. Today, we are going to do Bubba Hotep from 2002. Movie name, Bubba Hotep. Release date, June 9th, 2002. Runtime, 1 hour and 32 minutes.
Sweet spot.
Sweet spot. Budget, $1 million. Box office, $1.2 million.
Makes sense.
Production company, Silver Sphere Corporation. Produced by Don Coscarelli and Jason R. Savage. Screenplay by Don Coscarelli. Directed by Don Coscarelli. Cinematography by Adam Gennaro, edited by Scott J. Gill and Donald Milne, and music by Brian Tyler. Plot. And Bubba Hotep, an elderly Elvis Presley, and a black man who thinks he's JFK, save their rest home from a soul-sucking Egyptian mummy.
Starring Bruce Campbell as Elvis Presley / Sebastian Half, Ozzie Davis as John F. Jack Kennedy, Ella Joyce as the nurse, Heidi Marnhout as Callie Thomas, Bob Ivy as Bubba Hotep, Larry Pinnell as Kimasabe, Daniel Roebuck as hearse driver, and Reggie Bannister as rest home administrator. Must read film fact. It is based on the novella of the same name by Joe R. Lansdale, which originally appeared in the anthology The King is Dead, Tales of Elvis, Postmortem. Originally, the film was roadshowed by the director across the country. Only 32 prints were made and circulated around various film festivals, though this garnered critical success. And it went on to win the Bram Stoker Award for Best Screenplay. By the time it was released on DVD, it had already achieved cult status due to positive reviews, lack of access, and inclusion of Campbell. This movie, I'll be honest, I didn't really like it. To me, I kind of felt like that's an hour and a half I'll never get back.
It was, look, when I saw Bubba Hotep for the first time when it came out, I was one of those ones that was like swept up in the Campbell of it all. Okay.
Sorry to cut you off, but when I saw it was Bruce Campbell, I was like, yes. Yeah. Let's see what he can do.
Yeah, because it's Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, exactly. And, Evil Dead. Come on.
And Don Coscarelli, if I'm not mistaken, I didn't look this up yet, but I'm pretty sure he's the guy that did the fucking Phantasm movies.
I know the one dude is that's in the cast, he's from Phantasm.
Right. Hold on. This is real time. Don Coscarelli. Yeah, Phantasm. He did the fucking Phantasm movies.
Again, it's sad to see like
two. He did John Dies at the End and Beastmaster 2. Like, what the fuck? John Coscarelli's done a lot of movies, and then he just did Bubba Hotep. Ugh. And I'm like, all right. I don't know.
Mm.
It's a movie. It's.
It's not for me personally. Look. Again, it's all opinions. If you love this movie, then good for you, and I'm glad you enjoy it. But damn, man, this is rough as fuck.
All right, let's go through it real quick. Acting.
I didn't really like it. I'm going to be honest with you. Like, Bruce Campbell does a fantastic job. Obviously carries. Yeah. But the rest of it, nah.
Yeah.
Not really.
It's just, it's...
They don't even feel like characters. There's no fucking personality to, like, really anyone.
Right.
Everyone just feels they're so like, boring.
They're less than caricatures. Yeah. Directing.
No. There is no directing.
There is, yeah.
When a majority of your movie is just watching him lay in bed and look sad,
Bruce while Campbell, people speed clean around him when people die and stuff. It's like,
just... you don't really even go anywhere. You get the... Yeah. What are they, in a nursing home?
Yeah, yeah.
They're in a nursing home, and then you get to see outside towards the end.
Yeah.
That's about it.
Yeah. Rating / plot.
It fucking sucked. It was mostly about him talking about the growth on his dick.
Yeah.
That was pretty much it. We didn't even get into the whole, like, horror aspect, really, until last 20 minutes.
Last 15, 20 minutes, yeah.
We saw the old lady steal that other woman's glasses that was in the iron lung. And then, what, she got her hand bit by that, like, scarab thing?
Yeah.
And that didn't even look... No. There was no plot. The plot is fucking stupid.
Killer?
It was fucking ass. You saw him, like, twice. And yeah, one time, he just walked by everyone. It's like, oh, that's it? All right. Well, bye.
Yep. Casting?
The only one that I'm like, woo, is Bruce Campbell.
Bruce Campbell is Elvis.
The one thing I can appreciate is that both... forms of Elvis were played by Bruce Campbell,
yeah,
like the one that took his place, so
yeah,
that was cool.
Soundtrack,
no, there was no good soundtrack. Literally felt like they just bought How to Not Get Copyright and then boom, there you
and
go
then that's what it was.
There's your soundtrack.
Gore / kills,
fucking terrible. They literally would just put, like, again, that woman who got bit by the beetle, they just put some blood quotes on her hand and that was it.
Yep.
Everyone else just kind of died.
Yep. Pacing.
No, it was terrible. Again, an hour and a half, I'll never get back. It's in the sweet spot, but that movie fucking sucked.
It's not in the sweet spot of tolerance.
Yeah.
I would prefer the 2017 Mummy over this, and it was 20 minutes longer.
Yeah, I agree. Man, even for something that's like more comedic than anything, it just wasn't even funny to me.
Yeah.
I don't know about you, but...
Again, when I saw it in 2002, and I haven't seen it since 2002, so it's been over 20 years since I've seen this movie. My tastes are vastly different than what they were in 2002. And even in 2002, I remember, all right, it's a movie.
Yeah.
It's okay. Rewatching it, I feel a lot of the same that you feel. I'm not gonna lie. Pacing. It
felt like it was double the time.
Because so many scenes were just him laying there and talking in his head or druggily looking around at things and hallucinating.
It's not a good movie. I'm sorry.
I will tell you straight up, I'm normally one that says at least go buy it on Vudu for $5 or whatever. Even if the renting price is $1.99, if the renting price is $1.99 and you feel comfortable parting with $2 to see Bruce Campbell play quote unquote Elvis, then go for it. Because that's a shining part of the movie. And the makeup for Bubba Ho-Tep,
when
you see Bubba Ho-Tep, is good. But other than that, I would say pass on this. As much as it hurts to say.
Yeah, if you were going to give it a rent, I was just going to give it a pass too. Because
you could
probably go your whole life and never see this movie.
Like I said, if you got the $1.99 and you want to spare it just to see that, then go for it. If not, I'm pretty sure you can go on YouTube and look up like the best scenes of the movie.
Which there aren't really any.
Which it'll probably cut the movie down to about 15 minutes.
Ugh.
Okay, so Horror Club coming in with the fucking pass this week.
This is probably our worst Horror Club in a while.
Yeah, we haven't had one like this in a minute. And I'm sorry to the people that like Bubba Ho-Tep.
But hey, it's all opinions.
It's all opinions. It's all opinions. We're not trying to do this to be hurtful to people or anything. It's just my tastes aren't what they were 22 years ago. And I didn't really think it was all that great 22 years ago.
And this is my first time ever seeing it, and I'm probably never ever going to watch it again.
Right. Now that we've done this, I have no reason to watch it again.
The List of Doom. Each episode, we pick a theme to go along with the rest of the show. It's a top 5 list of movies, characters, events, music, or anything in between.
Chip, you know what? You just made the list!
Oh no!
Here we go.
And welcome to the List of Doom.
Hell yeah, the List of Doom. This week, we have top 5 mummies in media. This might be a little hard. Because, look, obviously everybody knows that we theme our episodes. We theme the war, we theme Horror Club, we theme the video games, we theme the list, everything. I said top 5 mummies in media because there's not a lot of mummies in media. The fuck you gonna do with mummies? And who's your favorite mummy?
No.
Right. So I couldn't do top 5 mummies in movies or cartoons or this or that because there's really not much. Do you know why? Is it just because they're not interested in Egypt? Like what could be?
Maybe it's because a lot of people don't find mummies to be that scary.
Right.
Unless you go like the supernatural, like curses are flying out of them. But when you think about it, I think a lot of people just think it's like someone just wrapped in paper towels. Like I remember that. Like I've heard people say that. Like, it's just most of the time it's a corpse wrapped in whatever kind of like dressing they do.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's like called, but maybe that's why, because it's not like grotesque creatures like a wolf or a zombie or something.
Right. That's probably it. So, I do have a top 6. I have an honorable mention.
Okay, I have only 5. A good chunk are from video games.
Okay, mine are from kind of all over different forms of media. I'll go with my honorable mention first. It is the ECW Mummy. There was a mummy in ECW on like the first episode of the 2006 ECW, where Sci-Fi wanted them to incorporate science fiction aspects into the wrestling.
Makes sense.
And Paul Heyman was like, "All right, cool." So he got a guy to dress up as a mummy, went out there, did the whole fucking mummy thing, and Sandman came out, bashed a beer on his fucking head, hit him with a kendo stick, and beat the fuck out of him.
Jesus.
So that was...
Oh my God.
There's my honorable mention.
All right.
The ECW Mummy.
Hell yeah. All
right. And as everybody knows by now, 64 episodes in, we don't hate Chills, we just hate his voice. So we mock it every chance we get, and every episode. So, what's your top five?
So my number five is Lucky the dog from Animal Crossing.
Okay.
It's just a dog that's dressed up like a mummy.
All right. That's super fucking fair.
So, yeah.
Number five for me is, number five is Ardeath Bay / Imhotep from The Mummy 1932. It's not often that I actually put the titular character of what we're doing in my top fives. But Boris Karloff was fucking amazing as Imhotep. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, he just fucking killed it. What's your number four?
Okay. This name is going to be tough to say. It is Anacharis. He is from the Marvel vs. Capcom 2 fighting game. But he originally started on the Darkstalkers video game series.
Yep.
And he is just a really buff mummy.
And he
somehow time travels because he goes back and forth to protect current Egypt and past Egypt.
So. And he's also a badass.
Yeah,
like he's super. Our lists are always so different. my number four is King Ramses from Courage the Cowardly Dog.
Oh, that would have been my honorable mention. Slab, Return the slab. One of the scariest episodes.
Return the slab. Just make that your honorable mention.
There we go. That was my honorable mention.
Yeah. Which year? Number three.
So my number three, we actually, I think, discussed this game last episode, but the Mega Man franchise is one of my faves. And for Mega Man 4, there's Pharaoh Man. He was one of the first ones I thought of. So, and while it's not like the greatest design character, a lot of the art for him from the original creator of Mega Man. Ugh.
Now let me tell you. Let me tell you something, brother. Couple nights ago, I'm messing around on my Switch, messing around on the online store, and what did my eyes see but the Mega Man Legacy Collection number 1 and 2, both on sale for $6.99.
Oh, yeah.
Boop, boop. I bought 10 Mega Man games for $14.
Hell yeah.
The core Mega Man games, 1 through 10, $14.
Love them.
If you got a Switch, I'm pretty sure they're on sale right now on PlayStation Plus and Xbox and all that, too. They're on sale. Oh, they're free. Get them.
Oh, yeah.
Get the core Mega Man games, because there's also the Mega Man X series, too. Mm-hmm. The Mega Man X series, a lot of people will say, is better than the regular Mega Man series. But
hot take.
Hot take. For our... Oh, God. I was going to say for our video game podcast, but Jesus fucking Christ. Casses! Casses! Speaking of... My number three is Mumm-Ra from Thundercats, 1985.
As soon as you said it. Yep.
My youth was Thundercats. I loved Thundercats. I thought Mumm-Ra was scary as shit. I was only a couple years old. Them fucking red eyes and them gnarly teeth. And it just...
Didn't they do a... Weren't they going to do
a they did. New
Thundercats?
They did a Thundercats. They did? Yeah, in like 2010. And it was like anime style. Mm. And it went for a few seasons. And then they were like going to do Thundercats... unroared or some shit, and it was like done in the style of what the fuck is that, Chowder. Do you remember the animation show called Chowder
with the purple cat?
Yeah, it was done in that style. It was like Thundercats Unbound or some shit, and people shit all over, but it was fucking hilarious.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, it was get stoned and watch that. It was goddamn hilarious.
Huh.
Which year number two?
I went the cliche route. My number two is The Mummy from 1999.
All right. Imhotep.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Look, that's fair. That's super fucking fair. My number two. And hey, I didn't fuck it up that time. I usually fuck up around the one and two spots.
Oh, shit.
Number two is Jakal Wrath, Arman, and Nefertina from Mummies Alive, the animated television show in 1997. I fucking loved Mummies Alive. That was my shit. Their designs were so goddamn dope. It was only on PBS, I think, here in America, but it was on, like, different things. Mummies Alive was fucking great. If y'all don't know about Mummies Alive, it was, like, 40-some fucking episodes, and it was only one season, but it was just chef's kiss. And we finally get to our number one.
My number one, forget her name, but it's from The Mummy 2017. There's something about all the tattoos on her and the way, like, even the way that the cloth on her body, it looks really fucking good.
Yeah.
And when they had switched, I guess when Tom Cruise's character, I guess, took her powers and kind of drained her soul.
Yeah.
And they showed her kind of slowly go back into, like, the mummified version. Oh, so good.
Yeah.
The design of the mummy in that one is fantastic.
If they were to cut the comedy down a little bit and take about 20 minutes off of that movie, we would see a completely different version of... We would see the Dark Universe.
And it's depressing.
It's depressing. And for me, my number one mummy in media is King Tutankhamun himself. If it wasn't for King Tut being discovered in 1925, we wouldn't have gotten the mummy from 1932, and we wouldn't be on the trajectory that we're on with mummies today, even though they're really non-existent.
Yeah.
That craze in the 1920s... spawned all of it. The imaginations went fucking wild. Curses and this and that. Da, da, da. Gotta give it to King Tut. The fucking inbred weirdo that he was. What? In history now we've learned that he was like super inbred and deformed. Mm-hmm. And he was like 14 years old. But he looked like he was 7 because he was malnourished and shit. Like King Tut led Jesus a horrible Christ. Life. But hey, he's number one on this podcast. Congrats, King Tut.
And that was the list of doom.
Oh, shit.
But I don't feel like smiling.
Horrors of Gaming. Each episode, we pick a theme to go along with the rest of the show. It can be a list dissection or a game that stands out for us to discuss.
Rated T for Teen.
Sphinx, it's up to me and you. Well, mostly you to save Egypt. These guys think they're scary, but they don't scare me. No, sir, not me. Okay, that guy scares me.
Yeah, him too.
Hey, there's a little guy. I'll take him.
Two heroes can save ancient Egypt. Sphinx, the mighty warrior, has amazing powers. And the mummy, well, he tries.
Keep your head on a swivel, because danger can come from anywhere. Okay, that hurt.
Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy. Available now.
And welcome to the Horrors of Gaming, the gaming portion of the show.
Hell yeah. And this one is going to be a little rough, maybe. But not the best game. Not the best. But as with every episode, Josh lets me name the segment because he writes this one. So I've named it today. The Legend of Zelda started walking with Egyptians, and if you tweak the story a bit, it could be really good as the God of War story for when the time comes for him to go to Egypt.
Fair.
Yes. Game name, Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy. Initial release date, November 10th, 2003. Completion time, 10 to 18 hours, according to howlongtobeat.com. Platforms, GameCube, PlayStation 2, Xbox, mobile, Microsoft Windows, Mac OS, Linux, and recently, as of 2019, the Nintendo Switch.
Which, I didn't know that they did, like, a remastered
video, that's cool. Developer, Eurocom, engine was Engine X, and the genre is action-adventure.
One of the few times I can agree that it's not really horror.
Right.
But, hey, okay. So, Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy throws the player into a world based off of ancient Egypt. The demigod named Sphinx and a newly resurrected mummy named Tutankhamun must stop the god named Set.
This game, at first look, would make any new player think that the Sphinx and the Mummy is a co-op video game. But as the story continues, our two main protagonists are split up from each other very early in the story, and as the player can see, they have their own unique gameplay style.
When playing as Sphinx, the player explores environments and open areas, completing puzzles and fighting enemies with his sword. Along the way, Sphinx can find a shield, a dart gun, and other various items. There are also mini-games that can be played while in control of Sphinx.
On the other hand, while controlling the mummy, there is no combat and the player cannot die. The mummy's gameplay focuses more on stealth and puzzle solving, very similar to the platforming style of Crash Bandicoot, along with the use of elements that can set the mummy on fire or split him into multiple pieces to navigate through the level. If Egyptian-focused storytelling is for you, then give this game a try.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yes.
All right, so I'll be honest. The reason I didn't go super in-depth with it is because even though I say Crash Bandicoot, there's no jumping platforming aspect to the mummy stuff. It's more of, it's a lot of just puzzle-based. He walks very slow. You know, he's got the typical arms out kind of zombie walk.
Yeah.
With the Sphinx, it's more of your action-adventure game. Yeah, there's puzzles thrown in, but again, it's more Zelda type of, like, puzzling.
Right. Not too hard. Yeah. Kind of basic shit.
I played this game when it probably first came out, because this shit was around the era of Blockbuster.
Yeah.
I remember renting this game and playing it for a little bit, and it just wasn't for me.
Yeah.
They tried to cash in, definitely looking back on, like, the Jak and Daxter, you know,
crazes and all that
duo comedy kind of storytelling, but it just didn't work because they didn't have voice acting. It was still text boxes, more grunts than anything, like kind of thing, but no talking.
Yeah,
a lot of the times when you would see the two characters kind of get back together to work together, it was in cutscenes.
Yeah,
you don't really get them together. And in a couple spots, he's like, you know, the mummy follows behind Sphinx, but a majority of the time, you're just separated.
Yeah. That's very true.
It's cool, but if you really don't understand Egyptian gods and how all that kind of works,
then it's not gonna... You're
probably not gonna like it as much.
Yeah.
It's very clunky of a game, too. It doesn't control very well. The combat system kind of sucks.
Yeah.
So, eh.
Yeah.
So, you know, I don't have too many praises. It's not the worst game like I've ever seen or played, but again, it was enough for me not to even want to beat it.
Right.
You know what I mean? I remember taking it back to Blockbuster being like, me.
Right. I do. I think that this was kind of like a rare miss from THQ Nordic.
Mm.
But then again, THQ Nordic has only really started to craft themselves very well with the God of War franchise. I think they did a lot of shovelware stuff. They did a lot of, like, just to keep the THQ name involved for a long period of time.
And I actually forgot about that on God of War, because the current ones are Santa Monica Studios.
Right.
But yeah, weird fact real quick. I'm sorry, this is for God of War. The dude who made the original God of War games also made Twisted Metal, David Jaffe.
Yep. So, no, that's fine. I know that we don't have a lot to talk about with this one, but there's really not a lot of meat on the bones to talk about.
Even though, like, the game runtime of it is like 12 to 18 hours, it's not that long of a game.
No, and I think the 12 to 18 hours is honestly kind of liberal. Like, if you are a seasoned gamer and you're going into this game, you might beat it in, like, 6 hours.
Like,
maybe, you know, 7.
And again, like, the Sphinx part of the story, it definitely takes a lot from Zelda, because you can find, like, gloves that can help you lift heavy objects, help you with your puzzles. It's just kind of a ripoff of Zelda and, like, Jak and Daxter kind of together.
And you would think that that would make a great game.
Yeah.
But because... And let me... I don't want to shy away from this. The character design,
that's cool.
The character design, the settings and all that shit. Everything looks cool.
Yeah.
Everything looks cool. I don't want to say that it doesn't look cool. It does. I like that style of animation, kind of. You know what I mean?
It's
like
cartoony.
The whimsical, but still, you know. All in all, it was an okay game. I'm not going to spend $20 on it in 2024.
Yeah.
Because that's how much they want for it.
That is insane.
Yeah, the remastered version on the Switch is like $19.99.
Well, I say that, but The Last of Us Part 2 remastered, remake, whatever the fuck it was, they went a full price for that shit. If you didn't already have the game. And for those who don't know, real quick, this is totally off topic again. If you already had The Last of Us Part 2 for PlayStation 4.
Yeah.
It's cheaper. You can just buy the upgrade for $10.
Oh, wow.
Instead of buying it full price again from, like, the shelves. Just in case people didn't know that.
There you go.
But for this game, for Sphinx and the Cursed Mummy, I would not want to spend that much money on an old-ass game like that really wasn't that good to begin with.
Yeah. So, I guess if you've never played this, you're not missing much.
If you're interested in it, I'd say watch, like, a playthrough of it. Yeah. Maybe the cutscenes. Yeah. But you could probably go the rest of your life and never watch this game.
And if anything, if you don't feel like paying the $20 for it, you can always yar it, I'm guessing. But
I have no idea.
I don't know. So yeah, we're good on that one.
I would just say you could probably pass this one.
Yeah.
If we had that system. Yeah. Pass.
Yeah. Pass. Yeah, definitely if we're going with that. I agree.
Well.
Darkness falls across the land. The midnight hour is close at hand. Creatures crawl in search of blood to terrorize y'all's neighborhood. And whosoever shall be found without the soul for getting down must stand and face the hounds of hell and rot inside a corpse's shell. The foulest stenches in the air, the funk of 40,000 years, and grisly ghouls from every tomb are closing in to seal your doom. And though you fight to stay alive, your body starts to shiver. For no mere mortal can resist the evil of the thriller.
And welcome to the end.
The end.
The end. Man, this was an episode.
It felt like a reverse episode. Usually it's like, you know, Horror Club is pretty good, but a lot, you know, not a lot of times. Recently it's been more one-sided, where it's just kind of like a shit stomp. But now this episode, it's like, the war was pretty close, and both movies were great. And then it's like, the gaming and Horror Club was just like, ugh.
And the list was, you know,
obvious. The list was pretty good.
The list was pretty okay, like... I think when we do these, like, the next two Universal Monster movies are going to be perfectly fine,
yeah.
I think. We can't do Frankenstein yet until, what, next year? Because that's when the Christian Bale one comes out. I mean, I don't know. I could do something else, but I'll keep that in my thought for a moment. All in all, I think we had a good episode today.
Yeah.
Definitely.
It's just going back to the Mummy remake. It's just,
God damn it.
I would honestly say if anyone has ever heard of the Uncharted games,
yeah,
the very first one is practically the same plot, and it came out way before the Mummy from 2017. Like, they kind of go through the same thing. They find a sarcophagus, a curse is unleashed, all that shit.
Yeah.
He just doesn't have, you know, some crazy priestess, princess chasing after him.
Right.
And a lot of the times, like, even, like, the areas they use in the shots and the way Tom Cruise looked and dressed, he was like Nathan Drake. I'm sorry. Yeah. He reminded me of Nathan Drake from the Uncharted series, so.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I do have a fun fact for the behind the scenes of this episode.
Okay.
I couldn't find a poster of the Mummy from 2017 that I wanted to match the poster that I used for the 1932 one. Mm. So I just created one to make it look like the 1932 one.
Okay, because when you sent me the preview, I was like, this looks nothing like the Tom Cruise posters or anything. And I say that because he's literally on, like, every poster.
Yeah, yeah. I wanted her to be the main focus, just like I wanted Boris Karloff's to be the main focus. I couldn't find any cool little artwork with, you know, them two, like, in the 1932 one, but I think that poster that I chose for the...
Yeah, it looks sick.
That, the Boris Karloff one looks amazing. It's that scene, it's the whole, yeah. So I wanted that ambiance to go with the other one.
Yeah, I like it.
Yeah. I like I said, I guess that's a little behind-the-scenes feature that we don't normally talk about. I've done it a couple times, but I feel like this one I really wanted to say something because I was proud of that poster. And for two, like, I really like the contrast between the both of them.
Yeah.
Because it kind of does give off what the movies are like. The 2017 one was kind of bright and colorful. And the 1932 one, even with you, when you put it in color, is still drab and dull and, you know. I don't really have anything else to say. I'm just... this episode is a definite contrast from the last one.
Especially in sound. Holy shit.
Yeah, we were going back and listening to it as we were recording. And man, this sounds even better than the fucking the Wolfman episode before that. So, yeah, we're just getting better. We're getting hotter and sexier. And nobody can stop us. again, I apologize for my my nasal sounds today. You know, allergies are kicking my ass.
It is allergy season.
It is. So. Typically, I get fall allergies. I don't really get spring allergies like this, but I was explaining, you know, at my job, they were doing two particular strains, and those two strains fucked me up, and it just opened up the floodgates for everything else. So that was pretty cool. And I never usually have any, like, effects to cannabis. I'm usually like, hey, let me just get that. I don't really have much else to talk about here for the end.
No, that's really all I got. I mean, just 2017 one could have been so much better.
Just with a few tweaks.
Yep.
Just with a few tweaks. And that's sad because I really like the cast of the 2017 one. I really like the direction of getting a superpowered team of modern monsters together. I just think that it's kind of ironic that the director said that the... It's a Marvel thing
for
the post-credits. But motherfucker, you literally just created a cinematic monster Marvel universe.
Yep.
You tried to. So, I don't know. I just think that was ironic. Do we want to talk about next week's horror team, I guess? Yeah. Are we there? Are we good? Yeah. Like, we have anything else to say? Steve, fuck you.
Fuck you too, Rob.
All right, that's fine.
Love you, Josh.
Love you too.
Okay, so next week's Horror Tube was something that I thought of while I, and this is very rare, that I have an episode. I put it out to Josh and he was like, yes.
Yeah.
Our favorite horror genres.
Oh, yes.
That is something that I never even...
Same.
Never even thought of like being anything, but I was listening to a podcast... And he was talking about, like, his favorite horror genres. And I was like, oh, shit. We've never really talked. Like, we've said, like, we like this genre. If you go back into the archives.
Yep. The archives.
Yeah. We've said this is one of our favorites or this is one of our favorites. But we've never, like, sat down and broken down our favorite horror genres before. So we're going to get to talk at length about them.
Oh, yes.
Oh, yeah. So if you want to hear that. Hop over to the YouTube, go to New Jersey Horror Collective, and next week you'll have that up there. So, yeah.
Horror Tube.
And in Horror Tube, we'll reveal what the next episode of Horror Wars is. But if you're following along and you take the 420 episode out, then you can probably guess what's going to come next. It's really not that hard to figure out.
You're right.
So, with that...
We will see you in 2 and 2. Shout out to Chuck Woolery.
Hell yeah, brother.
Bye.
Bye.
Hello.
Hello, it's Delish.
It's Delish time. It's time for being delicious.
Thank you for listening. Again, my name is Lamont, and I appreciate you sticking around for this ending message. You can find me at Vilcato on Instagram. Also, be sure to follow Horror Wars on all social media platforms, including TikTok, YouTube, Instagram, Facebook, Reddit, and everywhere in between. If you want to leave a horror question, comment, or say something about the show, please drop us an email at horrorwarspodcast@gmail.com. See you next time, and remember, keep it classy with a dash of slashy.
Hear everything that happened on that date. We'll do it in 2 and 2. Be right back.